As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin again.
Hello, one day late.
Oh, it'll come out on time. It's just going to come out in the afternoon. I think I'm just going to put it out this evening rather than tomorrow morning. So.
Okay, so we're recording this to Friday.
Yes, we're recording Friday.
Okay.
All right, what do you got?
I got two for you.
All right, another two. Cool.
You'll know what they are. It's from one of my favorite shows, Good Life Lessons.
All right.
Looking at cleavage is like looking into the sun. You'll stare at it. It's too risky. You get a sense of it, then you look away. That's one. Hey, here's the second one. Breaking up's like knocking over a Coke machine. You can't do it in one push. You gotta rock it back and forth a few times, and then it goes over.
Those are great.
And George responds to that, "That's beautiful."
Thank you. Yeah, right. From Seinfeld, if you don't know. Mm-hmm. If you're not a Seinfeld connoisseur like those of us that are smart, then you should watch more because it's words of wisdom.
Or European. I don't know if that ever traveled over Friends and stuff like that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's from Seinfeld. That's just like, I mean, the entire show is just good quote after good quote.
Yeah. So I wanted to do the cleavage one because I have a relatable, not me looking at cleavage necessarily, but that's just good for life. You don't stare at it. You just get a sense of it and you look away.
It's like looking into the sun.
Get a sense of it. That's great. And the breaking up thing's just a classic one.
You tip it over. That's beautiful. Thank you.
So I was thinking, so actually, I guess it's not related to the cleavage one. It's another episode I was thinking of as I'm getting ready to go. You went to North Carolina last week. Now I'm going.
Yep.
We got up with the in-laws and some of the family and stuff, and we're going to go down and just do a beach trip. So we're packing up and getting ready, and I was thinking of when George and Jerry are trying to sell the show to NBC, right? They write a pilot.
Yep.
And George's take is, it's about nothing, and that's like their kind of line, right? Oh, it's a show about nothing.
Right.
But then, like, what happens? He's like, nothing. like something has to happen. He's like, nothing happens. Like he's so adamant. Like,
yeah, right.
You walked. What'd you do this morning? I got up, had cereal, then walked. He's like, that's a show.
A show. Yeah.
And he's like, why am I watching it? He's like, because it's on. Not yet, right? So.
Yeah, right. Not yet.
Anyway, that's my approach to going to the beach. Caitlin's approach is it's about going to the beach and being on the beach.
Right.
And mine, I'm like, well, what do? She's like, you go to the beach. You stay on the beach. I'm like, well, not just that, right? We'll do other things. No, she's like, no, that's it. We're on the beach. We're not leaving the beach. Like, that's her thing is very, like, it's about nothing. That's what we do. Nothing.
Relaxing on the beach and doing nothing.
Yeah, well, that right. has to do something. What if I want to go? No, it's about no, nothing. So that's our prep differences. I'm like trying to plan like, oh, we can go here, get some dinner, maybe go here, go up to Kitty Hawk, see this. Right, and that. Yeah. And she's totally Georging me with the, no, it's about nothing.
I want to be able to wake up in the morning, you know, have some breakfast, go out on the beach.
Right, and stay there.
Yeah, maybe come. You walk back over the dunes, get lunch, go back onto the beach, right. and sit there, and maybe swim and be on the beach.
I know. And if we didn't have to put Maeve down for a nap, or maybe she'll nap on the beach, but she probably wouldn't even go in. Once I started dating her and married her, it was like we have sandwiches. We're bringing sandwiches out. Like you don't have to go anywhere. But that's just. I like that to a degree, but also, I mean, I'll bring a book and read, but I need other things to do. And I also, like, if I do that and we, like, bring beers out, I'll just start drinking.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, and then it's like 11 o'clock at noon. And then by the time 2 o'clock rolls around, you're all like getting drunk and stuff. Like, oh, man. It's all hot. You're like, sober up before dinner.
Do you know if you have, as a family, like 10x10 pop-up, you know, shade things?
Yeah, yep. We're going to do a couple of those. I have the one we just picked up. I had it out.
Nice.
Did I have it? Like when you came over for 4th of July. Remember I had the white one?
Yeah.
And we took it down.
Yeah. Yeah, those are key, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we did, like a bunch of chumps putting in umbrellas in the ground, you know, trying to stick them down into the sand. The only thing is, though,
if it, sometimes if there's too many of them or they're too high up, I feel like it blocks views. Like it's a little bit more obstructive for other people. But
yeah,
this beach is so the one down, you know, North Carolina and South Carolina, and those beaches are just a lot more open because there's a lot less people. So
right, exactly. Yeah. And if you're more of like, if you're in more of a residential-ish area, you know, like you have a beach house. So it's more like houses rather than a big public beach, right?
It's going to
be, it's less, you know, it's less people on the beach. And obviously there's going to be, you know, public access, right? Because the people who don't have houses right on the beach obviously come over and have to go on. And, but like I said, when we did it, we had that, we had the big 10x10 up and it worked well. You know, there was 100 feet between us and the next group, you know, in other tents or umbrellas or whatever, you know, or pop-ups things. So
it's nice.
That's key though, because then you're in the shade, but you're out on the beach. You can set your chairs up underneath it, but you can get like 6 or 7 or 8 people underneath it, just one, you know, like
I know
that's perfect.
That's what we're gonna do.
And you can also put it in place, right? You can go out in the morning, put it in, put some sandbags down, and leave it, right? And then you have your spot all day, which is nice.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. Oh, I was going to say that there was one time, I forget where I was, where we decided to go. Maybe it was Ocean City. But for whatever reason, the sand had kind of built up in the front and then it would go back down. So it was sloped. So if you were anywhere other than that front ridge, you couldn't see any water.
Oh, weird.
So you had to be on that front edge.
Right, yeah.
So everyone was lined up, like, early, and we had gone up, just my wife and I, and we couldn't, but there was one spot, but it had been posted up by a rental place, but I don't think we had any of the stuff anyway, so there was just one left, you know, and we were like, hey, he was like, yeah, last one, I was like, perfect, so, you know, two chairs and an umbrella.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as you could see was a line of people who had all taken every spot on that edge.
Yep.
We jumped in there.
Yeah, that's the, you know, that's beaches, I guess.
That's the beach,
Yeah, like I said, it was really nice where we were down in in Southern Shores or Duck. I forget which it is there. Yeah. Maybe Southern Shores, but it's, like I said, it's mostly residential houses and things and beach houses. So yeah, you know, definitely was not packed. It was perfect.
But yes.
That'd be fun.
So, we got that. And I think we talked about last week. I was getting the car all loaded up and I got your, we just put on the car top carrier thing.
Top carrier. Right.
Yeah. Lock that down. So that's cool. Nice and locked in. We put the hitch thing on, and I put that together. And actually, that was all one piece. I put the bike carrier together.
Right.
And that was a bit of a do because it was, you know, a million pieces just.
Yeah, right.
Because I bought one of the cheap ones, so.
How did the car, like the mounting for the ball hitch, like the hitch mount, how'd that all come together?
Good. It's just one piece.
One big piece, right.
It looks like the spoiler of a car. Flip that upside down and add a hitch to the middle of it.
Right, yeah.
So you have the two wing parts that take it up in the air.
Okay.
And just flip that over, and there were just four holes that bolt right into the frame.
Right, yeah. And I know you asked about if I had like an angled...
ratcheting wrench
or whatever.
Because there wasn't much room at all. And
We
just, I just, you know, we had wrenches and we just
it took
whatever 10 minutes instead of one, you know.
Right, like, yeah, exactly. I did that for ours, which is ours, the Nissan Rogue. Same thing, you know, you just order the right one for your car and they're already designed, you know, those kind of small SUVs are already designed to have a hitch. If they're, you know, if they don't come with a hitch, they're designed to have one mounted pretty easily. Yeah.
Yeah. So
did you, I guess you don't need the wiring or anything. You don't need the wire stuff. Cause you're just, it's not a lit trailer or anything. Yeah.
No, it's just the bike.
I did thing. Do that. But it was fairly easy. When we went down to North Carolina, we took a trailer down to bring, you know, a bunch of the furniture and stuff back from my grand in-laws. So I had to run the wiring harness from, and it actually hooks all the way to the battery. So I had to go from the battery down through the engine compartment back along the car. Yeah. I ran it up inside some of the box, like square, you know, box, metal tubing and stuff.
Yeah.
And fished it through and took it all the way to the back. But fortunately, the company I got it from, which was eTrailers.com, they have videos to go with like every single one of their products. So they like walk you through it. And then actually I got it, I forget the company, it was like something, whatever the company was that sold the wiring. They actually had video as well on how to wire it for that specific vehicle. So it was easy. Cool. I mean, it ended up taking me a couple hours, but that's just cause I was kind of like taking my time and you know, doing some other stuff and got it all done.
Nice.
So, yeah. So you got your trailer mount, for your bikes, and then you have the car top. Anything else? That's right. You had to put on the rails, right, on the top of the car.
Oh, yeah, the rails too. I had to do, or the rails were there. I had to put the cross.
Right, crossbars. Yeah, yeah.
Which
right.
actually also were kind of just for the car and kind of fit perfectly. Had a little adjustments here and there, but it looks real nice. So
nice. And are your crossbars like oblong or are they rectangular? Like
they're oblong, the wing of a plane.
Right, so they actually fit really well into the brackets of the car top carrier because those mounts are kind of shaped that way. They're shaped to go around that. Like we have ours are oblong as well, but we used to have just round bars, like the Yakima Rack was round bars, and it always fit fine too. But
right, it can lock. I had to do some adjustments to get it to lock tight, but you know, once it was, you like, oh, this is how it should be.
Yeah, right. Once you get it, you feel that snap down has that that cam like locking system.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. So we got that
nice and easy. Yep. Yeah. Cool. Nice. Right on. So you're ready to go. When are you leaving? Tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning.
All right. Nice. That's awesome. Cool. We'll have fun. Just so everyone who's listening, if you're expecting to hear a podcast next week, 99% sure we probably won't have one.
If Dustin wants to do one, he can.
There you go. So 100% sure that Devin won't be on it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I'm actually leaving next Wednesday to go on vacation. So, we will be skipping next week cause we'll both be on vacation and then, there'll be one the following week. So yeah, that should be fun. What did you say earlier? I forget. I don't know. I was going to reference something like right before you did the quote, you said something and I was going to talk about it. But I was talking to, my buddy Jim, who I sail with, and he, I don't know if you can hear it now. all the ice in my drink is all melted, but he listened to the podcast last week and he really appreciated the like drink, the ice in the drink sounds that we kept doing, because we kept taking sips from our ice water when we were sitting outside. He was like, that's nice. He's like, people pay good money to like put that sound into things to make you feel like you're like out in the country, you know, like in summer and just relaxing. And you get the sound of like the drinks and the clinking of the glass. He's like, it took me right back to my like mom drinking iced tea, like from a glass. And he's like, it was great. It was really funny. So
we'll have to do more outside. Jim. All those sounds are real live sounds.
Yeah, exactly. Taking sips and birds and dogs.
Right. Down, get down.
Havoc. That was nice. It was nice to like record outside. It was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to another podcast occasionally called On the Wind, actually fairly regularly. It's a sailing podcast. And one of the episodes, the guy who does it, Andy Schell, and his wife were basically taking a walk. Like, they went out to take a walk around their hometown, and they just brought their recording equipment. And as they were walking, they recorded a podcast. Oh, nice. So you like hear them breathing and stuff. I'm like, but, you know, and they're like waving to people like, hi, you know, they kind of like, you know, a little bit, but it was kind of cool. I was like, oh, that's funny. Just like, we're going to go take a walk around the town for 40 minutes or whatever, half an hour, and they just recorded the podcast as they were going, just talking and, you know, about stuff. I was like,
yeah,
that's cool. It's interesting. Well, other than that, Dev, what have you been up to this week? Just getting ready for vacation?
Yeah, getting ready, doing stuff. Not much. I mean, I guess we could talk about going up to Dad's. We did that. Mm-hmm. Dog's there. Excited to drop off my dog before we went to vacation. And then he also wanted, like, what do you call it, the skirting or something under the house.
Around the side of the house. Yeah,
so we went there and did some, framed it up a little bit. And how much longer were you guys there after I left? Because I had to leave.
I left at about 4:20, so maybe 2 hours after you.
Did you do the front one as well?
Yep, we did the front too. Okay, finished that. Yep, so we got the front done and the whole, yeah, we got the sides done when you were there. Or actually, no, we didn't do the last piece when you were there, right? It was just, or was it?
Did we do the last?
No, we didn't.
We did the two.
The two, right. So Dad and I did the last piece and then did the, and then did the front too. So got it all done. So that went smooth, and that was, it's always fun to get outside and work and do some man stuff.
Yeah.
Building some stuff.
And so framing up an area. So I'm trying to dig out a small trench to make it kind of as level as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I nick or hit or crack, I don't know how much of it I did, but a PVC pipe.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit. And then I was waiting for, like, something to squirt out, like I hit some sewage line or something. I was like, here we go. But it was nothing. It looked dry. And we're like, I wonder what that is. And I followed up, and you can see a black pipe or tube that had gone into it. And then that ran into white PVC and then went straight up in the house near where our parents' bedroom bathroom is.
Right.
And then Dad's like, oh, that's nothing. I was like, well, why don't we check it out?
Is that possible?
It's possible. It doesn't run anything. I'm like, well, I see it running up into the house. So it's running to something. And sure enough, our mom turns it on, and that's where the shower and the...
She turns on the sink, right? And it's like... Sink. Okay, well, it is. It's like draining into the PVC pipe, which is just going straight from the house, like pointing at the stream, which is right next to their house. I'm like, well, that's weird. That shouldn't be that way.
Right.
So I go over into the stream, and I'm down there, and Mom turns it on, and I'm like listening and looking. I don't see anything. So we're like, okay, well, it's not coming straight out to the stream, so we're thinking like it probably goes into the septic, right? It's turned going somewhere.
Yeah, right.
But there's a hole in it, so we got to fix it. So Dad goes, and or even before he did, he was like, we're like, well, why don't we try to see if it's connected to the shower too? He was like, no way, it's impossible. There's no way it's connected to the shower. And then we like turn on the shower, and sure enough, like it's the same, you know, it's just the same downspout. It's the gray water, you know, out. Right. So that's like going down. We're like, okay, what's connected to both of them? So, so then he went and got that piece to fix that. So he cut that out. Yeah, because it was just like where you hit was maybe 2 feet from the, or 3 feet from the end of it where it turned at a 90 degree and came pointing up,
right.
4-inch PVC pipe. And the top of that was there. And then there was, you know, the black hose going into the top with, you know, right. So with some space around it for venting and whatnot. So fixed that. That was fun.
Yeah.
Something else. Yeah. Yeah. And then we got all that stuff and got all the wiring down. So when, Dad and I finished the last piece and, you know, struggled with it a little bit because it was a weird, like, small, weird shape and trying to dig out enough to be able to slide it up underneath the existing siding so it's, you know, protected. It took a little bit of while to do that last piece, but we got that one done. And then we went out to look at the front piece, and we didn't have any piece that was big enough to do the whole thing in one piece, what was left over. So we actually ended up using those two pieces that were cut off of the first two full sheets. So there was like a foot by 8 feet. We had two of those. So took one. We needed like 18 inches by, I forget what it was, like 6 feet or something. That's what we needed. So we actually ended up cutting them both at 6 feet and then stacked one on top of the other, cut, trimmed the top one and got them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they really, like, they fit really nicely together. They look clean, and that's going to be covered by siding on the front side. So it wasn't as big a deal if it was, you know, if it was kind of pieced together. So
right.
But that, we didn't have any more of the 25-foot roll of wiring that Dad thought he got. Yeah, another thing. He's like, 25 feet. This doesn't look like 25 feet.
I was like, this doesn't look like 6 feet. This looks like 5 feet. I'm like, you sure you didn't see 5 feet? And he's like, oh, 25 inches by 5 feet.
Yeah, so and that's a rodent wire to put at the base of the skirting to keep, and it kind of goes underground or whatever. So his dad had some, welded wire, maybe, what are they, like 2x4-inch squares or rectangles, you know, that are not like the welded wire that's that size rather than what we were putting in, which was like 1-inch squares.
Yeah. What are you calling that?
Yeah, it might have been something
like that. It's like quarter-inch, I think. They're real tiny.
Yeah. But so we're looking at it, and I was like, yeah, well, that's like, it's still small enough to be able to keep out, you know, a groundhog or a bunny or whatever. And he's like, yeah, but what about like smaller rats and mice? And, you know, we don't want to keep them. So he was going to go buy another piece, but then we just decided to like cut two pieces and overlap them. So that way, you know, it was less. So we did that. So we used that, a piece of the wire he had out front. It was like some, you know, caging for around a garden or something. So
yeah.
Cut that and put it in and got the piece in and all done.
And I mean, in reality, if something wants to get under there, it will get under there. It's an old house.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to do as many main areas as you can.
Right. See how hopefully you can.
Right. Hopefully you keep some away.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cause like the way we put them in was that half of it, say 6 inches, went up behind the skirting, and then another 6 inches came out from the skirting, so an L shape, you know, straight out. And that was by design or whatever. That's when my father talked to a, you know, the pest control guy. He said, you know, put it that way because they'll try to dig down, you know, or they'll come up and they'll try to, obviously if they can't get in, they'll try to dig down, and so that wire comes out 6 inches. So once they realize they go down and they can't go under, they won't back up and go down at all. You know, like they're not smart enough to think, oh, let me back up more. They just go straight down. If they can't, if the wire's there, then they don't go down. So
yeah,
that was good.
We got it done.
Yeah. So afterward, I went to leave, and Dad asked if he could throw some, like, the trash and stuff into my truck so I could take it to the dump. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. On the way up, I had a little bit of trouble with my transmission. So he was like, well, I don't know. I don't want to do that. I don't want to put extra stress on your transmission. I was like, yeah, well, it's not that much stuff. Like, it's not a big deal. I'll just take it down and it's fine. So we were kind of talking about that a little bit, and Dad was like, yeah, you should take your truck to Whitcraft. You know, they can rebuild transmissions. They're going to be, like, the cheapest around, and they're also really, really reliable. For rebuilding, you know, not a brand new transmission, but rebuilding. They basically take your transmission case and they rebuild the inside of it. So they put all new stuff inside, but they use your existing case.
Right.
He's like, why don't you give him a call just to see, you know, just to get a quote. So I was like, okay. So I called him and they gave me a quote, which was $2,885. So $2,800 for a transmission. Mm-hmm. Like, that's okay. I mean, I paid $800 for the truck. And this is the truck that I got, like a year ago in February. So it's been, you know, a year and a few months. There's actually, what's the guy's name? I can't think of his Instagram. I'll think about it. But a local guy who actually gave me the coal forge that I haven't built yet, but I have that. And he also gave me some axe heads. When I went over to pick up the coal forge that he hadn't used, he was like, "Oh, this is the truck. This is the truck you've been talking about." You know, like when back on the podcast we were talking about getting the truck, you know, whatever that was last January. Yeah. He's like, "Oh, this is the truck that I've heard about." So, but yeah, the Dodge Ram. So, I called them, I got the quote, we started loading up the truck and then I headed out to go home. I get down maybe a half an hour from mom and dad's house and my, overdrive off light comes on. Basically saying that like the overdrive has been turned off
right
automatically, which has happened before maybe three or four times in the last 6 months. And usually it happens after I've been driving for a while and, or I'm driving on a lot of back roads. So a lot of like start, stop, speed up, slow down, you know, a lot of that. And so it comes on and then I come up to like a stop and I stop and I go to go and the transmission's gone. I hit the gas and it goes, yeah, no power, just grinding.
No. It's like,
no. So I'm in a little like circle heading down. You know, when you head like south from mom and dad's and you're going down to what's the road that goes all the way down past like your old house and it goes like all the way down to, whatever. So it like goes down to Butler, Mount Carmel, right? It goes all the way to there to 83. So I'm on that road and I'm in one of those little towns in a circle, like a big circle. So I'm like, fortunately I have enough speed to like drift and there's a little parking lot to my right and a few open spots. So I just pull right in. Fortunately, so I was able to like pull in off the road, you know, like stop there and I call mom and dad and I'm like, yeah, my transmission's gone, completely gone. And so they come down. And meanwhile, I call Nicole, talk to her. Then I call back Whitcraft. And I'm like, well, I called earlier to get a quote. I actually need a transmission. So the woman's like, okay, yeah, you can bring it in. She's like hesitating. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, well, she's like, I guess you can bring it in. We probably won't be able to get to look at it until Monday. She's like, really? She's like, we're not really taking any new orders right at this second because we have a lot of, you know, transmissions that are being worked on. She's like, but since I talked to you earlier and you're like broken down and you need it, she's like, you can come and drop it off. She's like, that's fine. I was like, okay. Whew. So I like talked to them and they're like, yeah, it's fine. And she's like, you know, we'll probably won't be able to look at it until Monday. And then, you know, maybe not be able to get work on it till Wednesday or whatever. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm leaving on Wednesday to go on vacation. And we have our Rogue, right? This is the truck. It's not a big deal. So I talked to them and then I call Nationwide and this whole time where I am in, it's a little town called Johnson, just south of Spring Grove in PA, Pennsylvania. Yeah. The cell signal is horrible. All right. I have like one bar of 5G. I'm like, ugh. It's like, I'm trying to go on websites and then I'm calling Nationwide, the insurance, to get roadside assistance to get the truck towed, right? Because it's covered with our insurance.
Right.
So I'm trying to go to them and it's all automated and it's like glitchy and I can barely hear it. And they're like sending me texts to be able to go to a website to do it online. But I'm clicking on the texts and my internet's not going fast enough. And the automated message is like, are you still there? Did you click on the text link that I sent you? And I'm like, so eventually after it asks me that a bunch of times and I'm waiting and I'm like walking around the car trying to get a better signal. It's just like, oh, well, because you're not clicking on the link, we'll send you to an operator. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. So
yeah, you started there.
Yeah. Well. Right. I mean, I'm sure it would have been fine too. If I would have been able to get the link, I would have done it all and it would have been quicker than trying to talk to somebody probably, you know, but if we would have started it, like someone, it would have been fine. So then they talk to me and the person's like, I can't really hear you very well. I'm like, oh man. So like the signal's bad enough that they can't really hear me. And I'm like, but I'm getting through enough and we get all the information through. And then mom and dad show up and they brought the Kia and the Toyota down because they have two cars plus my dad's truck.
Right.
So they drove those down and then they're like trying to talk to me while I'm on the phone with the guy at the same time. And I'm like, wait, you know, like I can't talk to everybody. So I'm getting through that. And then we get everything kind of settled up and figure out like where the truck is. And they're like asking me for the address and the zip code. And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm trying to put a pin on Google Maps, but my phone, you know, my data is coming so slow that it's not going. And I'm like, I'm somewhere. I'm like, hold on. I'm like looking around. And so he like kind of Googled on his end and figured out a spot for me. And we got it going. So he's like, okay, well, I'll put in, you know, this is like the roadside assistance. There's a separate secondary company called Ajiro. And so they put in the ticket or whatever for them to reach out to a towing company, right? So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, and he's like, is it okay if they text you when we find the towing company? You know, they'll text you and then we'll go from there. And I'm like, that's fine. I wasn't planning on staying with the truck anyway, so I was just going to leave it and drive home. So,
right.
So do that. And on my way back, which is now, this is about 6:30. We left my parents' house at 4:30. So it was about 6:30, maybe 6:15. Corinne and I were driving home, and I get the text from the towing company. It's like, okay, this is the towing company we found for you. They should be there in the next 90 to 120 minutes, something like that. So an hour and a half to 2 hours. I'm like, okay, whatever, no problem. So at about like maybe 8:30 or so, I check I've gotten a couple texts since then from Nationwide, you know, automated tests saying like, we're sorry this is taking longer, or have you, you know, has someone arrived? Well, I keep saying no. And they're like, okay, well, this is the company. This is the number. You can call them. So at about 8:30, I call the company and it takes me, or like I clicked on the link in the text and it takes me to the Nationwide website with a little automated thing, basically saying like, this is where you are. All the information is there. This is the towing company that's coming and their estimated time. And then this is where it's going. So all the information is there. But I, when I talked to the Ajiro people, I said, I want the truck taken directly to Whitcraft. It's about 25 miles from where the truck was. And I think we have up to 50 miles or something, maybe even 100. I forget what it is, but it's all free with our insurance.
Right.
So take them down to Racerstown, which is, you know, just as quick as it would be to get to our house, because it's just straight down from where we were. But then I look in the destination, it says like Smith Brothers Towing in Shrewsbury, PA. I'm like, wait, that's not right. But the address is correct. It's the Whitcraft address. So I call him up and I just clarify to make sure they're, you know, the guy I talked to, and he was like, yeah, he's like, I know Whitcraft. I know the place. And even before I mentioned that there seemed like there was a problem, he was like, oh yeah, this is the truck that's in PA that's coming down to Baltimore. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I walked it out and he's like, all right, well, looks like there's someone on the way. Cause this was like, originally the towing said there should be someone there by 7:15. And it said that they were like en route to go on the app, but not there yet. And so I call him and he's like, yeah, he's like, all right. He's like, yeah, I have somebody else, cause the first truck can get there or whatever. It's like, I have somebody else are coming. They should be there within the next hour or two. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I was like, I'm not in a super hurry. Whitcraft can't get till Monday and I'm not there waiting with it. So as long as it gets there in the next, like, you know, eventually tonight, right, that's what I would assume, like, you know, then, right, okay, it's fine. As long as it gets there, you know, it was Thursday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like we've got 3 days, plenty of time. So then I wake up this morning and I look at the app and it still hasn't been picked up according to the app. You know, it's like, there's no one en route and there's another name under the like name of the driver that's coming to get it. And there's like the original pickup time. So I call him back and, you know, I called him this afternoon and I was like, any news? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, that's the truck, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay. This is somebody else at this point. He's like, all right, I have another driver. He'll be there within 2 hours to get it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, it's not a big deal. As long as they think that, as long as it's still in their books and they still know that it needs to get done sometime, hopefully sooner rather than later. And my truck's in a, like, it's a, just an open parking lot. That's not, you know, it's not going to get towed, I hope. So towed by another company.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was quite a adventure getting home yesterday from mom and dad's. So now that my truck is going to get a new transmission and so, but fortunately we're, you know, like I said, we're going on vacation. Mom and dad have a second car. So, you know, in a shitty situation, they're like the best part, I guess, could be, right? I don't need it right now because I'm not, you know, it's in the summer. I'm a teacher, so I'm not working. You know, I don't need it to commute every day. Yeah. And I have a second vehicle, mom and dad's vehicle, the Toyota Corolla. So I can use that for whatever I need it for in the next couple of days. And then we'll be on vacation all next weekend. So, but yeah, it's funny too, because like I said, that light has come on before. And it's always just been fine. You know, it's like, whatever. Okay. Yeah. I knew I needed to get a new transmission and I only paid $800 for the truck. So, you know, I talked to Nicole and I was like, yeah, eventually we're going to have to get a new transmission. And we're like, okay, well it's worth it. You know, we can get a rebuilt one for, I was thinking anywhere between like $1,500 to $3,000. That was kind of the thing that I was thinking about, because I knew it was going to be, right, you know, a couple grand, but not break the bank like a brand new transmission. So,
right.
And that's what it was. Yeah. And Dad was like, it's probably going to be like $1,500 or $2,500 bucks or something like that. He's like, it's probably in that range. And he was right. It was 28. So, you know, but, you know, so all in all, I'll have a truck, and the engine sounds great. Like, it still sounds perfect. It's like quiet, you know, it runs really well. It's strong whenever it's running. It's just the transmission. From when I got it, the transmission was like a little shoddy. It was always like a little bit sticky and sounded clunky, and, you know,
yeah,
it's just not sounding great. And I'm hearing little new noises occasionally, you know, like, what's that? Is that something else? And so I called, and like then 2 hours later called back again. All right, time for the transmission. So, yeah. So yeah, that's what it is. But
tow trucks are, it's the worst waiting for them. At least you had someone to take you. I mean, because,
yeah,
unless they only let it go overnight because you said it's all right and I'm not with it.
Right.
You know, yeah. But
yeah. And I assume that might have been what it was, because I called the, you know, and the, like, whatever the, what are they called? The person that sends out all the towing trucks. I told them, I was like, I'm not there. It's not like I'm not waiting for the tow truck, and it can't be worked on until Monday. So I just told them that. And then I told them that when a driver does pick it up, the people at Whitcraft just said to leave my, you know, a note with my name and my phone number, so they know whose truck it belongs. So even though they'll be expecting it, they'll at least know. So he was like, okay, yeah, it's fine. So yeah.
Tow trucks, I just, the whole, it's such a slow thing.
Right. Yeah.
And it's so, man, I've had a few times being stuck. One time we got stuck in D.C. Mm-hmm. after a Nationals game. We worked it, and we were driving home, and it was already late. It was already like 11:30 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get off at some sketchy exit in D.C. And then we had to wait there, you know. Then it's like, oh, we'll be there, you know, anywhere in the next 2 hours, you know.
Right.
Whatever, 2 a.m., someone shows up saying he don't want to take two people, blah, 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 you know.
Half the right.
Time they'll be in like, the truck. We can only take one. Like, really?
Yeah. Right.
You're going to strand me? Like, what, I can't? Yeah. So I think he, like, definitely wouldn't. I think we convinced him to do it, but he definitely wouldn't stop anywhere else.
Right.
So I think I come to drop me off near where I lived and just walked home.
Right.
So when I was in Hamden, so I forget how far the walk was, but I was just like, just stop here. Like, let me out.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'll walk an hour or whatever it was.
Yeah. I got a part of the automated message was like, you know, typically tow truck drivers will not, you know, drive someone if they're in the truck. So make sure you have like arrange some other type of transportation.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Right. Like, fortunately, you have seats. Like, come on.
Yeah. It
should just be a part of it. It's like you're almost half of your job is a taxi. It's not, but
yeah,
you're picking up someone stranded. They already have to pay out money to get wherever they're going.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure they don't feel guilty anymore now because Uber is so easy
if you're 30 miles away, 50 miles from your house.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what, am I going to spend $150 Uber to get home? Like,
yep.
Were you just going to abandon me here? Like,
yeah, when I was in high school, my girlfriend at the time, Kristen, was going to college in, I was a senior and she was a junior when we started dating, whatever. She was 2 years older than me. So she was in college at north of Pittsburgh, PA. I'm still in high school in Baltimore, and I drive up to visit her. Occasionally I'd go up and visit her at school. And so I was on the way one time, actually driving Dad's truck at the time, little like tan, like Ford Ranger or something like that, something small, or Toyota or something. And it broke down on the way up about halfway, and that's like 4.5 hours. So I waited. She actually came down with a friend of hers, and I forget what exactly the tow truck company eventually picked me up and actually drove with me back to Baltimore from, like, you know, Berryville, PA or something. So, like, you know, up above Frederick and all there, like, so yeah, it was, that's what it was, because I needed to get a tow, but the person who was going to tow me back couldn't do it until like a day later or something. So Kristen and her friend drove her down from north of Pittsburgh down and met me where we were, and we drove back up to their school. I stayed there for the night, and then they drove me back the next day to meet the tow truck guy. Fortunately, the guy who was driving back to Baltimore, like, he decided his wife came along or something. So it was like they kind of made a trip out of it or something. And so so I jumped in the truck with him, and they drove me all the way back to Baltimore from there, like 2 hours, you know, back home with the truck. I was like, man, that's like right in the middle of like a long drive. I'm like, you know, 2.5 hours away from home and 2 hours away from where I need to go. And like, now what do I do? Like, crap, stupid truck, stupid, yeah. Like, you know, secondhand cars that we've always had, but
yeah, you learn, learn to get stuck places. And...
Yeah, exactly. You learn to be somewhat reliant on,
yeah, you're like, you know,
how do you deal with this situation?
it's like getting stuck in the rain somewhere. Eventually, yeah. You just stop being, well, you're not stop being upset, but eventually you're just wet. I'm wet now.
Yeah, right.
It's exactly. Kind of like when you get broke down. Well, I'm broke down now. It's over. Like, yep. Stop fighting. This car's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere until, yeah, I get a tow or something happens.
Yeah, like, exactly.
We're wet now. We just embrace it and let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to, what's the next step? Right. You get like, okay, right. there's no use in being upset about what has already happened. It's already happened. There's nothing you can do. So mm-hmm. You just move on.
Or I feel the same way about rain delays at work at baseball games. Like, you're like, everyone's so like, come on, no rain, please, no rain. I think we can get mm-hmm. it. I think we can do it. Come on, let's just, we can get through it. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, we're seventh inning. We can get through it. And then you get hit with something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the eighth inning. It's already like 10:30, and then just rain comes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, these people aren't going to be back in town for a while. They're going to get the game in. You know, yeah, eventually just accept it. Like, all right, we're sitting here, whatever.
We're going to sit here until the rain passes. Yeah. Or slows down. Yep. Yeah, it was, I forget what I was going to say now, but yeah.
I'm sorry.
Friends. That's okay. Yeah, it's just one of those things. You just have to. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was listening to, I think it's the No Dumb Questions podcast. And, the guy from Smarter Every Day, Destin, he has the YouTube channel.
Why does he say his name like that?
Is it, it's spelled that way? D-E-S.
Is it D-E-S?
Yeah, Destin. Yeah.
What kind of name is that?
I don't know. Not a cool one like mine, but you know, what are you going to do?
He sounds like you're saying Dustin like cool with like a southern accent.
Destin.
I'm Destin.
Destin. No, it's Destin. D-E-S-T-I-N.
That's weird.
Yeah, like Destiny, but the guy's version of it. Yeah, so he was talking about the tragedy of modern GPS and how everyone relies on it for directions. So he said for his kids, his kids are, I guess, close to driving age. One of his daughter's driving, his son's not, you know. So occasionally he'll be going somewhere with his daughter, and he'll just ask her to get them there. You know, she's like, well, yeah, just look it up on the phone, GPS. He's like, no. She's like, why not? He's like, because, you know, we're too rely on that. What if you didn't have that? How would you get there? She's like, I don't know. He's like, sure you do. Which direction is it? She's like, well, it's that way. Well, what direction is that? Well, it's east. Okay. Well, then we need to drive east. So how do we get onto a highway that takes us east? You know, it's like, you just kind of have to figure it out. If you didn't have that, how would you get somewhere?
It's like, I do the same thing. I get reliant on GPS even when I don't need it. And half the time I turn it on when I'm going to work down highways just to look out for cops now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have it on, and then I still find myself looking at it even though I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm still checking it a lot. And if there's a few times I've gone back ways to your house from up here, Dust.
Right, yeah.
And I know there's one you can go through where, you know, there's a couple ways you can go, but there's a couple shorter ways. That shave off like 3 minutes.
Yep.
And I had done it. I had done the trip like, you know, 5 or 10 times. And I was feeling it hadn't really sunk in. And so I was just like, well, I'm just not going to turn my GPS on. And like, I think I know where it is. And I made it, you know.
Yeah.
Then after that, it sticks in your head.
Right.
Because you're really looking. You're actually looking. You're looking for names of streets, you're looking mm-hmm. for anything you could tell.
Landmarks, all that
stuff that you should have in your head anyway.
Right, yep.
You just take the crutch away and say, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, Mom taking me to Brad's house. So mm-hmm. from our place in Glen Arm over to my friend Brad's house, which is in Manor. So maybe a 10-minute drive. But I asked her to let me navigate, right? And I was like, I think I can get there. Just let me do it. So you know, I got us most of the way. And I think at one point it was I got all the way from Glen Arm to like Manor Road, and basically I had her turn down the wrong driveway or the wrong, you know, road that the cul-de-sac was in. And right. she just followed my direction. Like we went into it, and then once we turned into it and we got in, you know, 100 yards, I realized that it was wrong. I was like, oh wait, this is wrong. She's like, yeah, it's wrong. So then, you know, we turned around and went back out and, you know, went to the next one. But she like let me make that mistake.
Right.
You know, and she just followed my direction in, you know, obviously by that point she knew, you know, it wasn't like we were doing anything dangerous. And,
yeah. Right.
You know, but yeah. that's half of it is that like you realize some of, if you make a mistake, you realize how to fix that mistake, or you realize it's not the end of the world, right? If you miss your turn, you just turn around and go. And you just, yeah. So, but yeah, that was fun. And I do that occasionally now to Corinne. I'll be like, do you know where we are? Do you know how to get where we're going? She's like, no. You know, and half the time now it's just because she's like on her phone and she doesn't have to pay attention because she's not a driver, you know, but I do want her to like understand if she, like she knows if she were to like leave our house and have to walk to a friend's house or whatever, you know, so she knows how to get to the Porters and get to the Greens by foot.
Right.
So she could do that. You know, it might take her an hour to get there, but she could do it. So that's all. That was more of the thing. It's more of the like the self-reliance. Like if you had to, could you get yourself somewhere?
Right.
And yeah. So
cool.
But yeah, so it was an adventure getting all the way getting home, but we got there. Other than that, other than helping mom and dad and my adventure with the truck, I just finished a new knife for a friend of mine, Jan and Jill. There are a couple that I sail with. Jill is, she's one of my crew on the sailboat that I sail on Tuesday nights. So we own Gun and we sail on Wednesday nights on our boat called Gun. And then on Tuesday nights, I sail with another crew on a boat called Legacy. And so she's been sailing with us on Legacy for the last 8 or 10 years or whatever, however long it's been. It's been a while now. But so she and I have become pretty close. And then maybe about 4 years ago, 3.5 or 4 years ago, one day Mark was walking up and down the pier getting ready to go sailing. And he kind of ended up talking to this guy, Jan. And Jan was a sailor and he had a boat there. But he hadn't raced much. And they were talking and he was like, well, why don't you come out with us on Legacy and come out and race with us and learn it. And if you like it and keep coming out, you know, we always like having additional crew if we need them, because that's a pretty big boat and we'd rather have like, you know, we can run it probably pretty well with a crew of 8 who know what they're doing. But usually we have like 10 or 12 or sometimes as many as like 13 people on board. It's a big boat, so it can take the weight, but we like to have the extra crew because then there's, you know, everyone has obligations and people have to like go on vacations or whatever. Like you and I record a lot. So occasionally on Tuesday nights, I got to say like, I can't make it just cause you know, we've got a video to shoot or something.
Right.
And so Jan came out with us and 3.5 years later, he's married to Jill. So there's your history right there. So yeah. And he's a great foredeckman. Foredeck is the front of the boat. So he runs the sails that are up on the front, you know, forward of the mast. And he does all that stuff and hooks things up. And he learned what he does from Drew, because Drew is our foredeckman at the time. Drew has since had his son. And so he hasn't been sailing on Tuesdays. He still sails with us on Wednesdays, but it was a little bit too much to ask to sail 2 nights a week with a newborn and now a toddler. So, but Jan took his place and took over and does great. And then Jan and Jill started dating a couple years ago and they got married. And so as a wedding gift, I had talked, like Jan knows I'm a knife maker and he knows that's like, he loves handmade knives and things like that as well. He has one by, one of the recommendations I was going to say today is Bloodroot Blades, and I'll get their actual Instagram handle, but he has another knife by a knife maker that goes by Bloodroot Blades. And I've seen that one and we've talked about it. No, it's a nice knife. And so, when they said they were going to get married, I was thinking about a wedding gift, and so I decided to make them a kitchen knife for their wedding. So have been working on that a little bit. I designed it for a while back, and then when we did the virtual craft festival a couple months ago, I worked on the wooden prototype for it, and then that was, I think that was the same week as their wedding, and then they went on their honeymoon for a couple weeks, and it's been a few weeks since we've been together. So this has been the first time this past Tuesday that I saw them. And so I wanted to get it finished. So like over the last weekend and all, I was working on it quite a bit. So it's a Santuco style blade. The blade is 6.5 inch, by, I think it's 2 inches tall. Yeah, at the heel. So 2 inches tall, 6.5 inches long, has a, like a 5 inch handle or so, 5.5 maybe. And it's kind of my style that I did the, Giotto, similar style to that, except for without like the Giotto has a drop down point, but it's a sharp angle, like the top, it comes straight down like a cutoff point. And a Santuco just has a rounded point that comes down. So it's, they both have that kind of drop down. And so that curve on the tip of a Santuco, when it drops down to the blade, that curve there, I use that same, I guess, radius of a circle at the end of the handle. So instead of it being a flat end of the handle and a flat front bolster area, both of those, the end of the handle and the bolster, have the same radius curve as the tip drop down. So all three match. So it has the same curve. So that was kind of cool design trait. And so that's made out of 1/8 inch ADCRV2. And that worked out really well. Did a good heat treat on it. Good grind. Everything's really nice. And then the handle material is white G10 liners that are, I think they're 16th inch thick liners. Maybe an eighth. Somewhere there. 3/32 maybe. So white liners and then stabilized black walnut on either side with brass Corby bolts to hold everything together. So turned out really nice. I'm really happy with it. But then, like, I was preparing the day before to give it to him. Like, I had the knife. It was all done. It wasn't sharpened quite yet, but, you know, I did everything up to that point, just sharpening, which takes just a few minutes. So I'm like, okay, well, this was Monday. I did all the work on Monday to finish it. I'm racing with him Tuesday night. So on Tuesday, in the morning, I'm thinking, okay, what do I want to do? How do I want to give it to him? Like, how do I want to present it? Because I can't just, like, wrap it in paper just like that, you know, sharp. It's got to be somehow contained. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll go to, like, a whatever, like a card store, and I'll look for a box that's approximately the right size or so. Something like what we made for the K-tip, for the Giotto video, that like black box that knives come in. So I'm looking for something like that. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'll go to the store and look for that. I was like, well, I probably should have some type of sheath thing for it, for the blade to go in as well, if it's going to go in a box. I'm like, okay, well, could I do like just some box board or some material? Maybe I could wrap it around and wrap it. And I'm like, well, I probably should really make a sheath for it. And I'm like, what can I do for a sheath? Like, I could do kydex, but I don't have a big enough piece of kydex. And I was like, well, I guess I could do leather. So then I ended up making a full leather sheath for it. So I had like a leather sheath. So I did that on Monday. And then when I finished, I was like, great. Now I got the leather sheath. It's done. It looks awesome. You know, it's just there's no snap or anything to hold it. It's just a really tight fit that just slides in over the blade up to the handle. You know, it doesn't go any further than that. Like no belt loop or anything. It's just a slip in sheath. So I did that, finished that. And I'm like, okay, well now the box, right? Okay. What do I got to do? Okay. So well, I guess I'll make a box. Cause I, you know, why not? I want to make one that fits perfectly. So I'm like, what am I going to make a box out of? And like cardboard, I'm looking around the shop. What do I have? And like, well, let me go upstairs and see what I have up there. And I walk up and I walk past our little pantry shelf area. And I see we had a family size box of Lucky Charms. So I'm like, oh, okay. Box board. You know, that's always good for boxes, you know, using something that's like some stiff, but not super thick, like cardboard, looks better. So, yeah. Okay, cool. So I take that and I kind of hold the knife on it with the sheath, and it's like just the right length, you know, from the bottom of the box to the top of the box. It's exactly the right size that I need. Like, perfect. So I take it down, cut it all up, make the box size that I want. So it has a top and a bottom. They fit together. You know, it's maybe an inch and a quarter tall by whatever it was, 3.5 inches wide by 12 inches long, something like that. Top and bottom fit together. And then I was like, well, you know, obviously I'm not going to give them a Lucky Charms box as a box. So I sprayed it with a dark red spray paint on the Lucky Charms side, because the inside is just brown paper, you know, that was fine.
Right.
So I sprayed that. It turned out really nice. And then I actually used one of those little logo strips that I used for the Giotto video that I had printed out, which has the Art of Craftsmanship logo. And then the words out. Yeah, the Art of Craftsmanship and the space. And so I signed it, glued that on the box. So, okay, cool. Now I got the box. It's the knife has got the sheath. This is all on Monday, or this is all Tuesday day before I'm sailing in the afternoon. So like, okay, good to go. So I'm like, all right, well, now I want to wrap it in the brown paper or something, or wrapping paper. I was like, well, I have some brown paper. So I just used some brown, I was going to grab just one of the pieces of brown paper from our roll in the shop. And then I realized I had the piece left over that I, when I did the virtual craft fair, I had drawn on the craft paper, the drawing of the knife, like to scale nice with like the curves and the radiuses and stuff. Mm. And so I cut that piece out of that chunk and I used that to wrap the box with that on the inside. Yeah. So it's like, it's on the inside. So it's like right underneath of where the box goes. And then I wrapped around it and I didn't want to tape it because I didn't want them to tear it when they open the box, you know? So I was like, okay, well, I don't want to tape it. So I got some string, some cotton string, and I did wrapping around it and just, you know, folded the paper in a way that then I could, that the string would hold it in place, wrapped it all up, did like, instead of just a plus of, you know, usually with a ribbon on a present, you wrap it around one way around the box and around the other way, right? So it crosses the box into four quarters. Well, I did it once the long way and twice the short way. So it actually goes like around the box all the way on the long way and then twice around the box short way. So it's evenly divided into six sections. Nice. And it holds everything nice and that's it. So went from like just the knife to the knife and the sheath to the knife and the sheath and the box and then the brown paper and then the wrap. So it's like, it's going to be this whole experience of opening it, like open up the string, you get the paper with the drawing, then the box and the box open, then the sheath and you pull it out and there's like brown paper inside the box to keep it in place. So it's all about great. That, right? When you're making something for someone, it's about that experience of getting it and all of that. So it's all kind of fun stuff to make.
They have whole channels on just unboxing things.
They do. And then, so I take it down Tuesday night. Tuesday night was the crazy storm night here in Maryland. We had wicked storms that came through northern Baltimore County and took tons of trees down. Power was lost everywhere. There's still places that don't have power in northern Baltimore. So I leave at about 4:15 in my house and driving down the road to go downtown. And when I left my house, it wasn't raining yet and there was no wind. But literally like 2 minutes after I left my driveway, you know, not even halfway down Paper Mill all the way to York Road, it was like winds crazy all over the place. Stuff's falling in the road. I see this huge pine tree like break and fall. Fortunately, not toward the road, but like off of the side. I'm like, it's crazy. And the sky's insane. And
yeah,
we ended up having four huge trees come down or pieces of trees come down on our property. Like fortunately they were big, like full size tree versions of branches that came down off of bigger trees. So we had like these giant trees on our property that came down and I made it downtown to go sailing and we ended up not sailing because it was just the storm was north of downtown Baltimore, but it was still enough and the potential of it being a really bad storm, they ended up canceling the race, but there was an after race party anyway. So we did the party and I gave Jan the box with the knife, but Jill's not there. She wasn't there this Tuesday, so he didn't open it. I was like, dang. So I like wanted to like kind of be there when they're opening it, but she's back today. It's Friday, so they'll probably open it. And then I'll actually see him tomorrow because I'm racing. We're racing on a race called the Race to Baltimore tomorrow, and I'll be there. Jill won't be there, but she'll be at the after party because she's part of the race committee, so she's having to do after party stuff, but I'll see Jan, and they'll either have opened it last night when she got home from vacation, or they will open it tomorrow when I see him.
Why, she's just going to rip it open like a kid rips open a toy, you know? You're like, wait, no, it's... Oh,
right. Yeah, right. They're going to... Yeah, right. I know, that's why, like, we'll see. It's purposely, like, the paper is not taped, so that way when they take the string off, it'll just open itself up. You know, it's going to, come open, and they'll just open it. And I'm sure they'll see the drawing because it's on the inside in pencil on the brown paper. It's kind of cool. I thought about doing it on the outside, but I was like, no, that'd be kind of cool to do on the inside as like a little bit of a secret. So,
little Easter egg.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was fun. And it turned out really good. I'm really happy with it. And I will post pictures on Instagram. I have some like little reel that I put together with the stuff and then pictures that I'll post all those. Tomorrow after I know that they opened it and I talked to them about it, then I'll post. Cause I just didn't want to, like, I posted some pictures along the way of like the process of it happening. So they knew they were getting it, or at least I know Jan did. Cause he was the one I talked to him about. Like I wanted to make them a knife, but I also wanted to make them a knife that they would use and that they like. And everyone has their own preferences for like cooking knives and stuff. So I talked to John about it, and he said specifically that he liked that style, that Santuco style. And he liked a shorter knife, you know, so not like a, like an 8 or 9 inch chef's knife. He wanted kind of like a 6, something like that, 6 or 7 inch. So a little bit smaller one. So I made it 6.5. So,
right on.
So he knew it was coming. I don't know if Jill knew, cause I talked to him about it. But I hadn't talked to Jill just cause I hadn't sailed with her this year yet. And, so he may have told her that what it was, but they hadn't seen it really. So,
right.
But everyone will be able to see pictures of it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Before we do, cause I still got to do some packing.
Yeah.
Get this thing going. I'm looking at the car out the window, just unpacked. Like, oh man, we got to start loading up.
Yeah. Right.
What was I
going to
say?
Ooh, tow in progress. Oh, that's good. All right, just real quick. I just checked the online app, and they were en route at 1:15. They were on the scene at 1:15, and at 2:41, it says tow in progress. So they're on their way taking it down. So.
Good. I have a recommendation, but I guess it is, but it's something I had been looking at. It's a Instagram, or the guy has the Instagram, Dave Bauer Art, I think.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's how you say his last name, Bauer. He went to Maker Camp last year, but I'm not sure if we ran into him or not. I don't know. We probably didn't know of him or.
Right.
You know, yeah. I feel like there are a lot of people there that, and I'm slowly over the year since been discovering that we're also there, you know.
Yeah,
they probably
yeah,
have connected to us and to others just because we were right there as well.
Right, right.
So you go, oh, yep. I see this person. Oh, and these people are in a Mark Adams photo. And oh, that's that person, you know. So it helps connect. So I had seen some of his stuff. He does some drawings and stuff, but he does some axe and knife stuff and just kind of just a general maker. And I think he does T-shirts and stuff. But, yep. Oh, he also does some 3D printing, which I had, I think when I posted something on mine, he had also done some 3D printing. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And his last post was one of the most interesting, like, ideas. He says in it that he got it from someone or, like, the idea from someone. Do you know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, making a Duresta, 3D printing a Jimmy.
A full size.
Like, what a cool, like, that was such a great...
Yeah,
like attention getting like for me right away. It was like such, right. And it was something I hadn't even. And maybe he had seen it, or someone else had seen someone else do it. You know, everyone's kind of done everything, so maybe someone saw like, oh, they 3D printed this giant thing or that. But I'm really interested in how he did it, and like I will be following along. And apparently, I think he's going to bring it to Maker Camp.
Yeah, I'd assume he would. I mean,
so you know. Oh man, how cool!
It's gonna be so awesome.
How's he going to put them together? I know he's doing, you know, right. You can basically do like 1x1 foot chunks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And how does he, you know, how do you get a 3D scan of Jimmy? You know, like.
Right. Like maybe.
You know,
like,
right. All these things, you know, it's like maybe you just take a, you know, put in, maybe there's some system where you can put in a bunch of photographs and they just piece it together and give you a,
right.
You know, like, general, like as long as you can do the face, they can give you a general shape of the face and the general shape of the body and stuff. And,
yeah. Like you can do a human size. There's already a human model.
Right.
But then you just start to stretch things and do things and put his clothes on it. And
yeah. Right. Yeah. Know. Overlay the face from a photograph. And
Maybe. I mean, that's why I'm interested. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And like,
yeah.
I know each chunk probably takes a day to print. You know, it's like this long, long process.
Right.
Yeah. 24-hour, you know, day and a half chunks of printing. So that's cool. So check him out. I'm gonna be following the process. I'm really interested. I hope he does like a full video on it. I don't know exactly if he does or what he. I don't know if I've seen anything if he's done on YouTube or not. But I would love to see all that stuff in depth. So. Dave Bauer Art, check him out.
Yep, on Instagram at Dave Bauer Art.
Yeah,
and that'll be in the show notes. Yeah, that's cool. That's the most recent post. It's funny because it's just a post of like, you know, the just whatever that 1x1 foot chunk of thing being 3D printed. You can't really tell what it is exactly. It's just like it looks like a big lump of whatever.
Right.
But he says it's going to be a full size Jimmy Duresta. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Cool.
Yeah. Love it. Great idea.
Yeah. All right. So, real quick back to, from my recommendation, Bloodroot Blades, which I, just said recently, is Luke Snyder and David Van Wyck run Bloodroot Blades, and their Instagram handle is at Bloodroot Blades. And my other recommendation is Adrienne Vita from Hickory Homestead Creations.
Oh, yeah.
She is doing her Friends of the Farm or Friends on the Farm event at her place in New Paris, PA. And that will be on, let me see, what is it? I'm looking for the actual dates. I think it's the last weekend of July. So it's right,
this month.
29th and 30th of July of this month at her farm in Pennsylvania. So she's having an event there, a big maker event, and she's just like doing fun stuff to, to bring up the maker community and like shout them out. She helps run, different channels and stuff, and they do all sorts of stuff for the community. But she's doing a pre-sale on her shirts for the event, Friends of the Farm. And unfortunately, Devin and I can't make it to the event this year. We really wanted to. We talked about it multiple times. And I think originally when I saw the dates, they said it was the end of July. And I was like, well, that's perfect, because I do the Governor's Cup, which is a big weekend-long sailboat race in the Chesapeake Bay. And it's always the first weekend of August. And so when we originally saw the dates, I was like, well, that's fine. That works perfectly, because that's the last weekend of July. So it'll be good. Gov Cup will be the following weekend. No big deal. But it turns out that this year, because that's a Saturday, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the 31st of July, March, April, May, June, July. Yeah. So since Monday is the 1st of August, they decided to do the Gov Cup on that weekend. So I will be sailing the Governor's Cup on that weekend. And then my mom is doing our family camping that week as well. So it's that Saturday through the following Saturday. And Devin, I think you'll be there that first weekend. So
yeah, it's just everything. I reached out to her too. Yeah. We had her on the. Did I say that? We had her on the podcast.
Yeah, we haven't said it yet, but yeah.
No, she's really, really friendly, and she's got a great Instagram and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and we met her at Maker's Camp. I'm a little bummed we can't go, because we.
Yeah, me too.
We tried, but it just everything kind of landed at the wrong time. Like 3 months ago, it was looking good.
Yeah,
and then right, it just exactly. kind of fell apart, because it's not that far from where we are. So
yeah, as soon as she mentioned it, you and I were both like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, that's hopefully awesome. She has a decent crew of people to show up, and that stuff takes time to build. So, but hopefully she gets just, even if it's like, I mean, it doesn't matter how many people. She'll have some friends and some people she likes.
Yeah.
Like, and hopefully they have a nice time. I think they're building some stuff. They might not, but they're going to get together and do some stuff and blacksmithing and just a nice.
Yeah, hanging out and camping and just getting a big, maker group together.
Right. I think that's how all these things start. Maybe one day we can do one too, where it's just getting together. And then once you get together, then you have thoughts of what we're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, we could bring this people in next year. Oh, maybe this guy wants to do this. Oh, you want to demonstrate this? You want to do that? But at first, it's just like. It's like the origins of like something like a Comic-Con or something, or any festivals, or it's all just like, a couple like-minded people hanging out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the next year someone says, hey, I could bring this to sell, or someone says, hey, I could talk to this guy and he could come chat with everyone.
Yeah, this other group, they can get together. They'll all want to come and see what's going on. And it just grows and grows. So
if you guys are around PA, you can go down. I don't think she's charging much. And if anything, it's just for some food they're cooking.
Yeah,
and some stuff.
It's super inexpensive. I think it's like $30 or something, or $20 for like a food ticket for the weekend. That's like it. And it's nothing. And she's taking pre-orders for the shirts. And they're really cheap too. They're only $18 for the shirts.
Almost as cheap as ours.
Yeah, right. Yeah, $17.76. But you can go and support her. So go.
Yeah, for sure. No,
Hickory Homestead Creations. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great price.
We got two. So, as soon as I saw it pop up, I sent their messages like, I definitely want one. We can't come, but, we'll get one for each of us, me and Devin. So go over and support Adrienne and see what she's doing. And if you can make it to Pennsylvania at the end of July, go to the Friends on the Farm event. It sounds awesome.
Yeah. Go. Cool. Don't have FOMO. And you can make us have it after you say how great it was. And
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully if she can do it again, we'll try to plan to get there.
Yeah, hopefully it's like a huge success and we're super jealous of all the cool people that were there that we didn't get to see.
Oh my gosh. And Tom Cruise was there. How'd you get Tom Cruise? Yeah, he was great. He hung out all weekend.
Yeah, right.
He's a big fan of the maker community.
Adam Savage came down. He was hanging out.
Adam Savage.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it's all that.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right, Dev.
Well,
yeah, it's been good. I hope you have a fun vacation.
You too.
That'll be cool. And for everybody else who's listening, thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you head over to Instagram, follow us there at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy to see what's going on behind the scenes. Head over to YouTube and subscribe there. We just put out the barrel, wine barrel video since last time we talked to you. So check that video out. I'm really happy with the way it turned out and all the people who are near and dear to me have said how impressed they were and how much they liked it. So hopefully all of you can feel the same way. And let me know what you think in the comments. And then also if you want to support our channel further, we really, really appreciate all those people who do support us over on Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship. And you can find us there to support if you want to. And ever since we started that, you know, we were always a little hesitant to start something like that until we had something really to offer people more than just, you know, a partnership. And so it's always been, it's there for people who want to support us in that way. And if you don't, that's perfectly fine too. Just like, you know, tell people about what we do and tell people about the podcast and the YouTube channel. And that is just as much awesome support as well. So for all of you, those of you who do that, we appreciate you as well. And for the Patreon members, we really, really appreciate that support. Alrighty, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.